Good morning, caller. You're on the air with Fred and Cynthia.
Hi, how are you guys doing this morning?
Okay.
I'm doing well.
Well, I want to enter this little debate on the income tax. I just have a couple questions. What possible purpose could there be for a City of Keene income tax?
Oh, I would think that the City of Keene would put the money toward government operations.
All right.
Police to fire to landfill to everything else.
Would that be working towards current budgets? Would that be used to drop more budgets for more services? I mean, what are we talking about?
The theory would be that it would reduce your property tax.
Right.
All right. I mean, there's all of this bemoanment about the plight of the homeowner and the burden on them. What about young people like myself who it's all they can do to scrape some rent money together?
Well, supposedly, if property taxes went down, the natural procession would be that the rent would go down as well.
It really seems like it's just shuffling around where the money's coming from, because then still, I'm not a property owner, but then I could be, you know, caught for this potential 15% income tax.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But I don't see how that is really helping anybody at all.
So if you
I think it's helping the homeowners. I don't know if it's helping renters except by lowering their rents.
Well, are renters part of the Keene community?
Oh, absolutely.
All right. I had a representative Weed for a professor this past semester, actually. Has he proposed any sort of income cap? Is there a limit?
I don't know, and I'm going to try to get him on maybe even next week. I'll see if I can get him. It's quick notice, but I'll see if I can get him on next week to talk about this, because I think it would be very informational and probably very interesting to people to find out exactly what it is he's proposing.
All right. Well, we do have another caller, and thank you for your time. Have a great day. Happy New Year.
Good morning. You're on TalkBack.
Hi, good morning. I'm just listening to this debate about the state income tax supposedly replacing a property tax, and it seems like I think people are just a little bit too confident that it would actually be replacing the property tax. I mean, yeah, the property tax will go down at first, but it'll start to creep back up if it's not completely replaced by it, and I don't think there's any call to do any of that. So eventually we're going to have a property tax and an income tax, and we're just all being taxed more, not even shifting the burden of taxes from one place to another. It seems the natural trend of governments is not to replace a tax, but to keep it on the books and then slowly creep it up until we're faced with lots of different taxes.
Well, the theory is that the income tax would help defray the cost of public education.
It would be strictly for education and nothing else.
Right. But you're correct, caller. I would suspect that if any given community wanted additional bells and whistles, so to speak, saunas in every room and swimming pools on every floor, etc., in their particular school system, that's something that probably would not come out of the income tax coffers. And so, sure, that things of that nature would continue. But it's been my observation over the years that taxes go up because services go up, because people want more and better of whatever it is, be it fire, police, schools, libraries, parks and recreation, etc. So it's always, again, my observation, my opinion, and you can differ with it, that people want more and better of everything, and there's a cost attached to it. But if we had a state income tax, firstly, I would suggest, and I am a proponent of that, there need to be two constitutional amendments to go along with a state income tax. One is that all the monies raised short of the administrative fees would go to education and not to the general fund. The second amendment would be that in order to increase whatever the opening percentage is, would need a supermajority at the legislature and Senate level, 60% of the legislature and 60% of the Senate. So it just couldn't go up as easily, perhaps, as if you just needed a simple majority.
Well, I've got to say, it seems that more and more we're going more in the direction of Massachusetts and other states that have already gone down this direction, and we have instead of being a free state where we have lots of liberties, we're now being run by the government, and yeah, these services, people are demanding these services, well, they're costing the taxpayers money and putting less in my pocket so that I can go out and do stuff with my life and be an entrepreneur and start running
a business. So how would you remedy that? What would be your answer to make this all better?
I would say that the government should maybe be in charge of a little less. I mean, I think that we're counting on the government for doing way more than it should and it ever did in the past. And every year it just seems that we have more government,
but
not less.
Who's demanding the more? The people
who,
are they not?
I think that there's a mentality where people think that the government is the answer, and I think a lot of that comes from education processes that we have with the public schools and stuff.
Part of that is that because people are basically, I hate to say lazy, but I can't think of another word to use, and one of the things I think about is picking up leaves, for example. Picking up leaves in the city is one of the
things. Well, we've been taught that the city will do that, and throughout the government education system, and then seeing what the city is doing, we've been taught that leave these services up to the city and just vote for other people to do it.
And the city stopped picking up leaves at one point as a cost-saving measure, and the outcry from the populace was so strong that we went back to doing it. Now, wouldn't you think that instead of going back to doing it, if people wanted to save money, they would go out? The idea of picking up the leaves is to clean the storm drains, to keep the leaves from clogging the storm drains. So wouldn't you think that people would go out and within, you know, they would make sure that the storm drain near their house was not blocked with leaves, that the leaves were taken away by themselves? But that's not what they do. They call, I mean, we were on the air at that time, and they called, I can't tell you how many calls we got from people saying, I want my leaves picked up. That's it. So find the money to do it. So we did.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, with more liberty and more freedoms comes way more responsibility, and I think that people just need to start taking responsibility for themselves and stop counting on government for everything, because eventually it's going to be all government, and we're all going to be government workers, and we all know that that really doesn't work out.
Well, our society, generally speaking, across the fruited plain, is more socialist than it was. I think if someone died 50 years ago, could come back to life today and see what exists, they would swear we were a socialist country right now.
Right.
And if you can tell me how to make people more responsible, each individual more responsible for his or her own whatever it is that they need done, please tell me how to do it, and I will pass the word.
Well, I think it all starts at the education system, and stop teaching kids that government is the answer in the first place. Because, I mean, I went to the public schools, and that's exactly what I was taught. Like, if there's a problem, count on the government to fix it for you and just pass more laws in the government. So I think that's where we'd have to start, is in the education system, of saying, look, government isn't always the answer. People used to be able to pick up their own leaves without counting on the government and taxpayer dollars to do that. I mean, it's just pathetic the way that society is going, in my opinion.
But you do agree that government does have some place in society.
Yes, I mean, I'm for a small, limited government.
Absolutely. You and me both. That's why we're good free staters.
I mean, do we want to go back to having, for example, somebody said the other day, to go back to the fire system, where you purchased a disc to go on your house, a medallion to go on your house, and if you had a fire, the fire department would come out, and if you had a medallion, they would put out the fire. If you hadn't purchased a medallion, they'd stand there and watch it burn. Do we want to go back to that?
Well, no, I don't think that we would go back to that with the insurance companies and stuff that we have set up today. I think that this is a theoretical argument, I think, anyways, that we're making here. But if we were going back to that in today's day and age, I think that that would be more of an insurance company issue, that if you were going to have insurance on your house, your next-door neighbor would have to have it as well. Right, because, I mean, what insurance company is going to want to give you insurance if your neighbor doesn't have insurance? So I think that's a more complicated issue in today's society than it might have been back a few hundred or 200 years ago. So, but I think that that's also just a theoretical argument. I don't think that we're going to be going back to a time where we don't have a fire station and stuff. But I mean, hey, maybe we will. Who knows?
All right.
Okay.
Have a great day. Happy New Year.
Thank you. 357-1290-1866-357-1290. Good morning. You're on TalkBack.
Hi, good morning. It's Ian from freekeen.com. How are you guys today?
We're fine today. How are you?
Oh, super. I figured I'd answer your question about how you can, in your words, make people more responsible.
Yes.
And I don't think that I think if people don't want to be responsible for themselves, they certainly should be free to hire someone to be their nanny and to take care of them. They should have that choice. For the rest of us that do want to be responsible for our lives, we should also be free to not be to not have the nanny forced upon us. And if you want to encourage responsibility, not make people responsible, but encourage responsibility, I think one of the best things you can do is set people free. And I'll give you an example. Now, you may not, I don't know how familiar you are with other municipalities, but in a lot of places, there are government trash pickup, and that's all there is. And if you tell those people that live in those areas that you live in a place, Keene, New Hampshire, where there's private trash pickup, they don't believe you. They think that without government picking up the trash, that there will be piles of garbage everywhere, and that without government picking up the trash, people won't take care of themselves, and they won't take things to the dump, or they won't be responsible enough to hire their own trash company. But you know what? Here in Keene, we don't have garbage piling up everywhere, and people manage to take care of their own garbage through whatever means necessary, whether it's throwing it in the back of their own truck or hiring somebody to come by on a weekly basis and pick it up. So my point here is, you said that you stopped the leaf collection and that all of a sudden people started complaining. Well, what you're talking about there is, you know, sort of a natural response of letting someone go and letting them be responsible for their lives. Of course, there are some people that are going to call and they're going to complain, but if you'd probably just let that play out, people would have taken care of themselves as they always do when they're allowed to.
Well, we let it go for a year or two, and it didn't work, so we finally had to go back to picking it up because there was flooding from the storm drains being covered with leaves.
And don't you think the property owners that were having their properties flooded would have had an incentive to take care of that?
Well, they apparently didn't.
Well, then that's their it's their problem then. I mean, if they want to flood their basement or flood their own house because they're too lazy or too...
What happens if it becomes your problem if the flooding now extends to your basement?
Right. And you picked up your leaves, but the leaves from your neighbor are going down and blocking the storm drain.
If it became enough of a problem, I'd hire someone to take care of it.
You'd pay for their leaf removal.
Whatever it took. I don't want flooding in my house.
Well, that's the problem is, should you pay for somebody to remove the leaves that your neighbor,
I'm being
or should everybody
to pay for it right now, I'd rather do it on a voluntary basis.
All right, good.
Right.
Well, have a happy new year.
Okay.
Good to hear from you again today.
Thanks. Bye-bye now. 357-1290 1-866-357-1290 are our numbers this morning. Fred Parcells is our co-host, and we invite you to call in about anything you want to call about.
So did you have a Merry Christmas?
I did.
Santa Claus bring you something lacy and frilly?
Curtains? Curtains, yes. No, it was a very... You know what Santa Claus bought me? A GPS.
Really?
I am...
So you won't get lost anymore?
No, as I can... Well, we've started doing, you know, since we've retired, we do a lot of driving to places,
yeah,
and
yeah.
we get lost, not a lot, but a fair amount, and as I get older, I have this absolute mania about being lost. I just, you know, my Lord, we're lost, and I'm going to go panicky, and so I'm hoping that a GPS will at least give us the impression that we're not lost, even if we are.
So did you get TomTom or Garmin?
Garmin, actually. Yeah.
I hear the advertisements, but so I'm still pretty good with getting around.
Well, the first thing that's going to happen is that my kids are going to come down and program it so that we can always get home.
Yeah.
And then show us how to program it for going somewhere else.
Yeah.
And my husband also got a VCR, not a VCR, I'm sorry, a DVD player. We had a combination, and ours, the DVD player was broken.
Yeah.
Well, you can't get much for DVDs anymore, so we sat there and looked at it and said, oh, hello, you're nice, but you don't work.
Mm-hmm.
And so we got a new DVD player.
Well, before we go any further, I do want to say goodbye, because my older daughter, Brianne, and her husband, Mike, are heading back to Connecticut if they haven't left already.
Oh, okay.
She asked me to wake her up this morning, but it was too early. And so anyhow, Brianne and Mike, thanks for coming up, and I'll see you in a couple of weeks when we go down to Washington.
There you go.
All right. 357-1290. Good morning, caller. You're on the air with Fred and Cynthia.
Hello.
Hello.
Luke, and how are you guys doing?
Okay,
doing
well. Luke, how are you today?
I'm doing great. And the first thing I'm going to talk about is actually an advertisement that I heard on your show. It's about this whole thing about these booster seats and this new you know, a big thing in government right now seems to be these booster seats. Now all these kids, by law, have to use these boosters.
Right. Well, it's been a law for a while, but right. I've heard the commercial.
Well, here in Michigan, it's a new thing. Okay, now by law, I think it's outrageous. I mean, I think that when I was a kid, we never had any of this stuff.
Nor I. We barely had seats in the car, but.
And I just think that it is, you know, I'm not naive. I mean, I've been around the block at least once, and I really don't think it was some government official, you know, just with tears in their eyes thinking about all the kids, no booster seats. No, I'm smarter than that. I think there's a connection, and I don't know where it is, between booster seat companies and the government, and that's what I honestly think. I don't want to sound like a conspiracy theorist, but that's what I honestly think, and if I find out that that's the case, I'm going to get angry.
Okay.
Right. That's what
so
I
you think
I have one more thing.
All right, but people should have the right to kill their children if they so desire. Is that what you're saying?
No, that's not what I'm saying.
Right.
Well, when I was a kid, we never had any of this stuff, and we got along just fine.
Sure. Okay, and the other point?
My other point is about something that Ian said, and that other guy, you know, Ian Freeman, the guy who called before.
Yeah.
Ian Bernard, we know him better as, but...
Right.
But anyway, I think Ian is right. I mean, that here where I live, we have our own, you know, everybody takes care of their own leaves, everybody takes care of their own garbage, and we get along just fine.
Okay.
And so that's all I have to say today.
Well, thanks for calling. Happy New Year to you.
Yep.
Bye-bye now. Good morning, you're on TalkBack.
Good morning, Cynthia. Hey, Fred, it's been a while. It's Sam.
Well, Sam, I am. How are you?
Doing great.
Are you ready?
Hey,
when are you coming? You got just four more days.
Yeah, I am packing up the U-Haul right now. I've got some friends coming over tonight to hang out, and then I'm hitting the road tomorrow, and I'm going to take about 4 days to drive up. No, not really in any hurry. So.
Well, be careful, because I think the weather's lousy.
Yeah, I'm
and where will you be living?
About that. In Keene,
where?
Right downtown.
Oh, you're renting an apartment?
No, I've got a house, and I'm pretty sure it's in the historic district, and it needs some repairs. How do you think that's going to go, Cynthia?
I think you're going to have to go to the local board to find out what you can do and what you can't do.
We'll see.
Right.
Anyway, I'm sitting here listening to the income tax discussion, and it's sad for me to sit and listen to all these people sniping about, you know, who should pay, and the people who are sitting in $250,000 houses, paying $7,000 in taxes, think that's the wrong way to go. The people who are living off investment income don't want their investments taxed, and really, there is no just way to extort money from people by using the threat of force, taking their house away, putting them in jail, whatever. There's just no moral way to justify that. And Fred, you made a comment earlier about if we had an income tax, the property taxes would be reduced.
That's the theory.
And, well, I want to give you an example of the lottery, of something that's in place today. Now, that was put in place to help fund the education system. Is that correct?
That was. You mean in New Hampshire?
Yes.
Yes, in 1965. However, what happened then, so X amount of dollars were raised through the lottery, but then the state reduced its contribution level. Whatever it was giving at that time, it now said, oh, look, we don't have to give that anymore because we have this other revenue source. And so instead of being 200% of whatever the number was, you were back at 100%, but it wasn't being funded. It was a sin tax, so to speak.
A sin tax. I'm not sure.
Well, sin tax is gambling, alcohol.
Cigarettes.
But there is still a lottery in the state, correct?
Yeah, yes. That's correct.
Okay. So I looked at the CAFR report for New Hampshire that summed up all of these numbers. I just want to make sure that's what I was looking at. And last year it brought in $266 million. They paid out $156 million. Now, to run the lottery, the bureaucrats took $30 million for themselves, and only $80 million of that $266 million went into education. Now, funny thing, you would think, with this $80 million going into the education fund, that they would be able to reduce property taxes. But in fact, what they did is, when they put this $80 million in, they created a surplus of $40 million in the education fund, and we all know that property taxes, half of which go to education. So they, there's a rule.
Actually,
that says,
it's a little more than half, but I understand.
Right, yeah. And there's a rule that says any surplus in the education fund goes back into the general fund. So they didn't bother to actually reduce people's taxes. They just bounced $40 million out of the education fund and put it back into the general fund.
Which is why
so the bureaucrats could spend it on themselves.
Which is why I said earlier that we would need a constitutional amendment that would dedicate all funds raised from an income tax expressly to the education system, not to the general fund.
No bouncing it back, no borrowing from it, just use it for education.
All right, well, thanks for calling. Have a great day and Happy New Year to you. Good morning, Cole. You're on the air with Fred and Cynthia.
Hi, good morning, Fred. It's Cynthia. It's Mark Edge from
Mark, how's everything in Sarasota?
Well, it was fine. It was 80 degrees was the high when I was there. It's amazingly beautiful temperature. Didn't have to dig out any driveways, but this is home, and I was glad to get back.
Okay.
And you got your long johns out.
The heat's on pretty good at the house.
What's up today?
I wanted to talk about the sort of the income tax and the use that you had mentioned there. I like the idea of a constitutional amendment to limit the use of a tax.
Yes.
And I think that would it shows that we would sort of be learning from the mistakes that we the sort of citizens have been making all along, because the fact is state after state, I think 46 states have an income tax.
Mm-hmm.
Have you know, this is how they get the income tax. They say, oh, my God, property taxes are too high. We need to spread this out. The renters aren't paying enough. And, you know, the people grumble about how they don't pay. They're paying, you know, more than their fair share, as though there's anything fair about taxes.
There's no fair way, period.
There is no fair way.
But something has to happen.
But I'd like to point out that on property taxes, they'll take your house away if you don't pay for it. Income taxes, they may or may not put you in jail.
They just take you away.
Well, they may. That's what you think. But if you look into income taxes on a national level, there are 60 million Americans. And these are working age. I'm not talking about old people and young people. I'm talking about working age Americans that currently are not paying income tax. One would assume they're making money somehow.
Uh-huh.
Because it's just too hard to police. It's a heck of a lot easier to police property taxes than it is income taxes. And I think that what you'll find is that income taxes are significantly more unfair. But I understand why people like the idea of an income tax. But you had said that you specifically wanted to use it for schools, and that's what I wanted to talk about.
Okay.
I hate the government school system.
Uh-huh.
I have a son. I hope to never, I'm not going to tell him that he can't go and play football if he wants to play football. But I hope that he will never want to, you know, go to a government school, and I will pay to provide him with a private education because, you know, that's what I have decided to do.
And because you can afford to.
Well, yeah, I can.
Okay. But what if I couldn't?
Well, can you afford a hamburger at McDonald's?
I don't go there, but I don't understand.
It's a dollar.
I don't understand that connection. So it's a dollar to go to private school?
It's a dollar to go to McDonald's and get a hamburger.
Okay.
But I've also been to a place called Chalet Suzanne where I bought a hamburger for $37.
Really?
Yeah.
Well,
so
for you.
In the marketplace, you can get a hamburger for a dollar, you can get one that costs 37 times that. So I would say that there'd be schools that would be relatively inexpensive and ones that would be quite a bit more expensive.
Would that affect the quality of education or not?
Do you consider the hamburger at McDonald's to be less quality than the one at Chalet Suzanne?
Probably a little bit.
Yeah, probably
a little
bit.
The ambiance, I bet, is different.
But it's the ambiance. There you go. So, there would be certainly some things that are different. Would you say the Seventh-day Adventists that provide a school for $1,500 a year here in Westmoreland, New Hampshire?
Well, I'm not familiar with that system, so
but it's right here. So if you're not familiar with it, it must not be terrible, right?
Perhaps. I don't know the answer to that. You're stumping me this morning.
Well, I'm supposed to do that.
Well, I understand. I
right.
know the game.
I am familiar with the school.
Well, the school's great, right? I mean, it's fine.
Right.
Fine. Let's call it fine, because, I mean, they do teach kids that really crazy stuff about Jesus. But either way, there was... you know, the fact is it shows that the marketplace can provide for people an education that's significantly less. We pay $15,000 a student to send them to school in Keene. They do it for $1,500 at the Seventh-day Adventist school. Mm-hmm. It's possible. And the only way it's ever going to be possible is if we get the government out of it. Because the government, unfortunately, at this point, is artificially inflating the cost of sending kids to school. And it's doing it on people who have never had kids, don't want to send their kids to public school, and shouldn't be forced to get those things. Walmart has ladders that I can go out and buy if I need a ladder, but they don't charge me for it before I go in and get it. I only get it if I need a ladder.
Right.
All right. Well, have a great day and Happy New Year to you. It's great talking with you. Good morning, caller. You're on the air with Fred and Cynthia.
Good morning. I just wanted to express that I just moved here recently to Keene, and I just wanted to express that I'm really glad there are some other people. I didn't really know a whole lot about them, but first of all, the Free State people, I'm really glad they're here. I called in last week. I kind of went off on a tirade. I was very angry and I still am about what happens with taxes. I actually moved from Massachusetts because of the violence that government shoves down everybody's throat. And the
so extortion. you're not happy now being in New Hampshire?
Oh, I'm happier. I would be, and I'm hoping to get even more happier as government shrinks, because I understand that as the bigger government grows, the more disastrous their effects are.
So are you a free state? Are you a free stater or an anarchist?
Well, I'm not an anarchist, but the more I look into seeing, I don't believe that anarchists are anti-government. I believe they're anti-state.
They clearly are anti-government.
Well, I don't think so, because wouldn't be the first to misunderstand it, I'll tell you that much.
Uh-huh.
What I understand about it, and I don't have the answers to everything, of course, but I'll explain it to you. And to you, what you know, if you have two people who I would say are anarchists, you have one person that says, that lives on one side of the road, and one person that lives on the other side of the road, and they may call themselves anarchists, they may call themselves whatever they call themselves, but I think what you have is, you say, okay, well, we've got this stretch of road that borders our property, well, maybe the two of us can get together and take care of this road together if we want to have people travel on it, whether they're businesses or private individuals.
Can you put a toll booth on it?
Well, if you wanted to, if you feel as though that would do what you feel, if you feel like people would use that route and do it, I think people will, if it's their property, unless it's public property, and I think that could be an issue too, because there's tons of public property that people seem to feel like they've got all kinds of power over, but they really don't. It's actually, you know, the state and the supposed authorities have all kinds of control over. But if you have a piece of road, you know, say you were my neighbor across the street and I lived on this side of the road and you lived on the other side of the road, and I said to you, well, why don't we get together and let's maintain this road, and we'll, you know, to whatever standard we feel as though we want to keep it to. I'm from Massachusetts. The roads are horrible there, and the taxes are through the roof. The roads are just horrible there. The government is way out of control there. I lived in New Hampshire years ago, and I the roads are still great here. You know, you've got a couple of small spots on 101 that I've noticed that I'm not thrilled about, but hey, they're fantastic, and I don't know how they're maintained, but they certainly don't look like they're maintained by the Gestapo as they are in Massachusetts. But, you know, you and I could get together and maintain that road, and 100% of our money, 100% of our efforts, and 100% of the time would be focused into, and we've just established a government. We haven't informed, we haven't made a state, we voluntarily consented to take care of a small stretch of road that, I don't need to go to the government. I don't need to have other people. You know, this is the socialism thing that seems to be growing, and I do agree with that caller from Vermont that, yeah, we just voted for socialism because hope and change and all that wonderful stuff that really was not defined. You know, it was amazing how you won that.
Okay, well, thanks, Nicole, and Happy New Year to you. It was great to hear from you again. So. What else is going on?
So you were talking about the unions.
Well, if a government at any level is going to come to the employee group in good times and say, hey, you know, we negotiated 2%, but we really think you're worth 4%, then perhaps they might have an argument in bad times to do the reverse.
Right.
And but I agree with you that, and I've said this right on these very airwaves, and you know better than most how I was a very strong union advocate, that I believe unions, and perhaps right here in Keene, New Hampshire, are overstepping what their original intent was for. Unions were started in Keene for almost 40 years ago when city employees were not very well taken care of, and the police department was such an example. We used to turn over police officers like flapjacks. They came and went, and I don't think the community benefited from having ill-trained, ill-equipped police as opposed to nowadays.
Do you think unions have outlived their usefulness?
Some clearly have, not all. There, I suspect, still places in the workplace and workforce, public or private, where unions perhaps are still necessary.
I mean, let's talk about the police union, and a lot, if there are any police officers listening, don't take it personally. I'm just choosing it because Fred was a police officer. But the city of Keene, just for example, mm-hmm. pay good benefits. Do you think that the police, if they suddenly said, okay, let's not, and be careful what I say here, mm-hmm. that if the police suddenly said, okay, let's toss the union away and we won't have it anymore, mm-hmm. do you think that they would get any less good treatment than they are getting now? They would still get competitive wages with what other...
There's no guarantee that the wages would remain competitive because...
Other communities.
Because other communities are, you know, and I've said this, and again, having been in that industry for a lot of years, police officers are more mercenary in philosophy than perhaps professional firefighters who, and we know this here in Keene, are generally homegrown. They're local individuals who have devoted their lives to being professional firefighters, whereas police officers come and go from elsewhere.
But firefighters, for whatever reason, love. I never met a firefighter who didn't love his job.
Sure.
And could talk about any fire that you bring up. He can talk about what went on at that fire 30 years ago.
But it's a different breed of cat.
It is very different.
Sure.
357-1290-1866-357-1290. Good morning. You're on Talkback.
Hi. I just recently moved to Keene, and I just agree with the last call on a couple of things, but I just want to clarify on what he meant about a consenting government. When it's one person and another, that's really the smallest government you can do, which is one-on-one. Now, a government can only exist if it's completely unanimous. So that means all the people who agreed on these terms are completely agreeing on all those terms. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
So if a government is established and there's a portion of those people underneath the government is forced to do what that government has told them to do, then that could be considered essentially to the highest degree of slavery. So you're forcing us to do something.
So why did you move to Keene if you don't agree with the Keene city government?
Well, I like someone else said recently, we all live on a farm, but if we go to another country, it's just another farm. We're all being, labored for the government.
But why did you pick Keene?
Keene is moving in the right direction. We're getting a lot more liberty activists up here, uh-huh. and I happen to agree with a lot of them, and...
Well, I agree with liberty activists who want to reduce the size of government.
As a city councilor, I almost never hear from any of the so-called free staters.
You do every week on these radios.
Well, yeah, but they don't call me as a city councilor. They don't call me to say, I want this, I want that, I want something. And, oh, God, I probably shouldn't say
or
that.
Or I don't want
freedom.
This.
Right.
All we want is freedom.
Well, where
That's
does
all
that
we
exist?
Ask for.
But where does freedom, where does your freedom leave off and someone else's servitude begin?
Well, we're not trying to extort money from you. We're just trying to make ourselves free as an individual. And if you want to, have money taken out of your paychecks, that's fine. But you have to consent to it. And I don't want to consent to it.
Well, then you need to move to a location where there is no government. And I understand.
Name a place
on earth.
Name a place on earth.
Name a place on Earth. That's all I ask.
Somalia.
So we have to change where we're living now.
Somalia is the only country in the world without a government. And I understand things aren't
happening there.
I understand things aren't going real well there, but they are free to do what they want as long as they're stronger than the guy next door.
I'm pretty sure this is called America, and America was, we were supposed to live here free.
Okay.
And if you start to, enforce taxes on everyone, then we're no longer free.
All right.
They'll knock down your door, and they'll have guns in your face, and they'll take you to jail if you don't pay taxes.
Happy New Year. It was great to hear from you again.
Thanks 357-1290. Boy, we have a lot, an awful lot of, I guess they're all free staters. The free staters, you hate to paint everybody with one brush, but.
Well, some of them I agree with, and I've said that they believe in less government. There are some who have hijacked the free state project
right. In
its initial intent, which was less government.
Right.
Some of them are anarchists.
And some of them want no
government. No
government, which
right. Which is Somalia. That's
right.
The only country in the world without a government. And I don't think it's working real well, but maybe it's a model for us to follow.